And now, it's time for our weekly news round. Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Anglican churches have been warned to avoid dipping wafers into the Holy Communion wine to guard against the risk of triggering allergic reactions or passing on flu to worshippers. Anglican worshippers have also been told if they are concerned about catching or passing on infections, they can decline to drink from the communal chalice of wine and still be deemed to have taken communion. "We are becoming increasingly aware of the severe reaction some people have had to gluten," Bishop Walker said. "As a result, churches are now used to providing gluten-free bread in services of Holy Communion. However, what is often overlooked is that dipping wafers in the wine can introduce gluten, which others then drink. It is already advised nationally that for reasons of hygiene, the intinction of wafers should be avoided. When a wafer is given into the hands of a communicant, it may become contaminated by germs lying on the skin. Intincting the wafer then introduces those germs directly into the wine. There is also the possibility of fingertips inadvertently dipping into the liquid." Bishop Walker added, "Should a communicant not wish to drink from the chalice, perhaps through having a heavy cold, then he or she may be assured that to receive the sacrament in one kind alone, bread or wine, is to receive the sacrament in its entirety." In 2009, during the peak of concern over the spread of swine flu, the Church of England suspended the practice of offering a communal chalice of wine. They recommended dipping wafers in the wine before offering them to worshippers, but reminded priests to wash their hands thoroughly. Some churches have in the past also stopped the tradition of asking worshippers to shake hands and exchange the peace during bad outbreaks of flu. New editions of the New Testament and the Quran should have trigger warnings added in the margins to highlight anti-Semitic passages in the holy texts, a group of Jewish leaders have said. The European Jewish Congress, the EJC, an umbrella body for Jewish groups, has produced a catalogue of policies to combat anti-Semitism. A number of its recommendations focus on passages in the Bible and Quran that have been used to promote hatred against Jews, calling for these holy books to have warnings added into their introductions and margins. Some Bible passages, particularly within the Gospel of John, speak about Jews in pejorative terms. Parts of the New Testament and the Quran appear to blame Jews for Jesus' death, while there are negative remarks in the Quran about some Jews. Most scholars agree that the passages should be seen as evidence of tensions between different groups that lived at the time, rather than as a blanket statement about all Jewish people, but say they have been exploited or misinterpreted to justify the persecution of Jews over centuries. The Archbishop of Canterbury said in 2016, "It is a shameful truth that through its theological teachings, the Church compounded the spread of this anti-Semitism virus." The EJC document states, "Translations of the New Testament, the Quran and other Christian or Muslim literatures leave marginal glosses and introductions that emphasize continuity with Jewish heritage and warn readers about anti-Semitic passages in them. Alongside such passages in Islamic texts, cross-references should be added to parts of these scriptures that describe Jews positively," it adds. It also calls for all states to adopt a global definition of anti-Semitism and for online platforms to be held liable for anti-Semitic posts. Moshe Kanter, president of the EJC, said there was a growing sense of despair and pessimism about the future among many Jews. Mohammed Abdul Halim, professor of Islamic studies at the University of London, said the Quran does not brand every Jew as bad and contains very favorable passages about Jews. However, he said, it also showed tension between early Muslims and Jews. He added, if someone wants to get involved in anti-Semitism or anti-Islamic behavior, they will do it whether or not you add warnings and footnotes. Dr. Christine Joynes, a theology lecturer at Oxford, said she had had some sympathy with calls for warnings, but pointed out Bible passages have also been used to promote homophobia and misogyny. She said, the whole Bible needs a health warning to read it through the right critical lens and in historical context. Religious groups must comply with data protection laws, the European Court has warned, as it rules that Jehovah's Witnesses must ask permission before collecting personal data on the doorstep. In a ruling made following an appeal by the Finnish arm of the religious group, the Court of Justice of the European Union said they must gain consent from householders before collecting their data. It comes after the Church of England told members not to distribute people's personal data in written prayer requests following the introduction of GDPR, the EU's new data privacy law, earlier this year. The case was brought amid confusion over whether Jehovah's Witnesses information gathering was exempt from privacy laws because the data was not filed centrally and was used by a religious group in the act of door-to-door preaching. The judgment said the group keeps a list of people who have asked not to be contacted, known as a refusal register, as well as the names and addresses of persons contacted, together with information concerning their religious beliefs and their family circumstances. The information is collected as a memory aid and in order to be retrieved for any subsequent visit without the knowledge or consent of the persons concerned. Jehovah's Witnesses will analyse the decision carefully and look at how governments within the European Union interpret that judgment. Religious groups can be exempt from data protection requirements when communicating with believers within their own community. However, the court ruled that door-to-door proselytizing is directed outwards from the private setting of the members who engage in preaching, and therefore is not exempt. It added that even though the information is not held centrally in a conventional filing system, such as a set of databases, it is still covered by the law. Andrew Charlesworth of the University of Bristol Law School said the judgment showed that religious groups were not exempt in total from GDPR. He said the law gave religious groups leeway to process data without having to conform to the regulations, but this was limited to current members, former members, and people with regular contact. What the Jehovah's Witnesses are doing, of course, is going out and talking to random people, so that really doesn't fall within that, he added. When they process personal data, and particularly special categories of personal data, they are required to comply with exactly the same legal requirements as everyone else. He added that the ruling showed that keeping records on paper instead of structured databases on computer systems did not exempt organisations from complying with the law. The Court of Justice of the European Union has been increasingly inclined to tighten what a filing system is, he said. A spokesman for the British arm of the Jehovah's Witnesses said, the European Court of Justice has issued a judgment on what is a complex area of law. Jehovah's Witnesses will analyse the decision carefully and look at how governments within the European Union interpret that judgment. A spokesman for the Information Commissioner's Office said the ruling applied under the previous law as well as under GDPR. Religious organisations and political parties must ensure that they comply with the GDPR when collecting personal data, they said. Earlier this year, there was confusion among Church of England clergy as a church issued guidance warning them that permission would be needed from someone who was to be prayed for if the information were to be published on a website, leaflet, or social media. In response, the ICO said, if as an organisation you have an existing relationship with someone, for instance, that person is part of your church congregation or volunteers for your sports team, you would not need their consent to use basic personal information. Indian police have been urged to abandon efforts to recover the body of an American missionary killed by an isolated tribe on a remote island amid warnings any contact could have catastrophic consequences. Survival International, an NGO working for tribal rights, said the Sentinelese people could be wiped out if outside diseases were introduced onto the island. Any such mission would also pose extreme danger to Indian officials, the group said. John Allen Chow was killed by the people of North Sentinel early this month after paying fishermen to smuggle him onto the island, where outsiders are forbidden from venturing under Indian law. The fishermen later said they saw the Sentinelese bury his body on the beach. The 26-year-old left notes saying he wanted to bring Christianity to the tribe and knew he was risking his life. He also detailed an attempt at contact a day earlier when he was forced off the island amid arrow fire. Believed to be the last pre-Neolithic tribe in the world, there has been no significant contact with the Sentinelese for generations. The risk of a deadly epidemic of flu, measles or other outside disease is very real and increases with every such contact, Survival International Director Stephen Corry said in a statement yesterday. Such efforts in similar cases in the past have ended with the Sentinelese attempting to defend their island by force. Authorities should leave Chow's body and the Sentinelese alone, Mr. Corry said. He also called for the weakening of restrictions on visiting the area to be revoked and the exclusion zone around North Sentinel properly enforced. All uncontacted tribal peoples face catastrophe unless their land is protected, he added. The call came as Indian police said they were still working with anthropologists and psychologists to see if a plan could be forged to recover the missionary's body. However, they were treading carefully and at this stage had no plan to confront the Sentinelese, said Dipendra Patak, a director general of police in the Andaman and Nicobar Islands. If they suggest any methodology to interact without disturbing them, then we can draw up a strategy, he said. They are a treasure, the police chief added. We cannot go and force our way in. We don't want to harm them. A police approached the island on Friday and Saturday, on the latter occasion finding the tribe's people armed with spears and bows and arrows. We watched them from a distance, and they watched us from a distance, Mr. Patak said. P.T. Joshi, a professor of anthropology at Delhi University, said he understood why authorities wanted to recover the body, but he noted the islanders could not be prosecuted under Indian law, and said it was likely already too late to learn much from the body, as conditions on the island would cause rapid decomposition. Ultimately, it's becoming futile, he said, according to Associated Press. Chow's family have said they have already forgiven the tribe, as well as the fisherman who aided his journey, who had been arrested. Pakistani police have arrested a radical Islamic cleric who led nationwide rallies following the acquittal of Asia Bibi, a Christian woman sentenced to death for blasphemy in a case that drew international condemnation. In a statement, the Tehreek-e-Labbaik party said their leader, Kadeem Hussain Rizvi, was arrested on Friday in the city of Lahore. Police also arrested scores of supporters, it said. The arrest came weeks after Mr. Rizvi's supporters held violent rallies against the October the 31st acquittal of Mrs. Bibi by the Supreme Court. She had been on death row since 2010 on trumped-up charges of insulting Islam's prophet Muhammad. It angered Mr. Rizvi and his supporters, who rallied for 3 days. Mr. Rizvi ended the protest after authorities said Mrs. Bibi would not leave Pakistan until a petition against her acquittal was reviewed. This week, a British church charity criticised the government's failure to offer Mrs. Bibi and her family asylum in the UK, which officials have attributed to concern about attacks on embassy staff in Pakistan. The British branch of Aid to the Church in Need said the family was being pursued by vigilantes while they awaited Mrs. Bibi's release from protective custody. The cleric's son said his father had been taken away in a nighttime raid on a religious school or madrasa in the eastern city of Lahore. Police raided our madrasa and arrested our revered leader, Saeed Razvi, told Reuters by telephone. And finally, some more messages from signs outside churches. Under same management for over 2,000 years. Soul food served here. Tithe if you love Jesus. Anyone can honk. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Beat the Christmas rush. Come to church this Sunday. Don't wait for the hearse to take you to church. Don't give up. Moses was once a basket case. Come early for a good seat in the back. Life has many choices. Eternity has two. What's yours? My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.
On your PC, tablet, mobile phone, and internet radio receiver, this is Lutheran Radio UK.